God our Father, we give you thanks because we are free. We are free because of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So Jack Oswald and I ended up in the principal's office because we had a fight at recess. Jack was all excited because he had First Communion classes early in the morning, and the priests keep telling him these great things about who he was, but unfortunately about who some other people weren't. He said, I wasn't going to go to heaven, but the priest said he was. And those were fighting words. So, we had this theological discussion in fourth grade. And it was us, it was serious stuff. Now, it was over a few different pronouncements each time he came back from one of the classes he had. Something new to tell me that made me feel even worse. But this debate had been played out 450 or so years earlier in a town called Wittenberg with Martin Luther, who was a priest. Martin felt very badly when he knew from the Pope on down to the priests, they were told that you have to earn your salvation. And how much did you have to do that? How much was enough? And who decided? Was it the priest? Was it the Pope? Now, they called it good works. Now, good works meant that you went and volunteered at places like the poorhouse or something like that, or you gave donations. One of the key ones was indulgences. An indulgence said after you paid a certain amount, you got a piece of parchment paper that said you just got your dead relative out of purgatory. Well, Martin was concerned that people who worked long hours and had very little money, neither could they volunteer or come up with that kind of cash. But he'd even gone to Rome at one point and saw very poor people scraping together money to get their relative out of purgatory. And then they were so joyful, but then they were out of money. He just didn't think that was all right. And he took this so seriously. Sometimes Martin went to confession more than once a day. He was such a terrible sinner. What could he do? And who would decide when he'd done enough? On a very minor scale, through this whole discussion with Jack and my feeling bad before we ever got to the principal's office, I lay awake at night sometimes thinking, will God ever forgive me for some of the things that I did in my little mind that I thought was terrible? Like we were throwing snowballs and one missed one of my friends and sailed off and hit an adult. Ooh, that was terrible. Or the time that some boy swore at me and I pushed him and knocked him off his bicycle. Would God ever forgive me for those kinds of things? Who had the power for that forgiveness? What was God's love all about? Well, I think part of the theme that we read about in this lesson from Kings is about God's power. A little background. Rehoboam and Jeroboam were sons of Solomon. Solomon was a son of King David. David had united the 12 tribes who, most of their life, remember all the way back to Jacob, never really liked each other. But David was skillful to get them all back together again. And Solomon continued that. When David died, he became king. And God asked him, what gift can I give to you to be a good king? And Solomon said, give me the gift of wisdom. Brilliant idea. And he was loved because he made several very wise decisions for the people. Solomon was also asked to build the temple to put the Ark of the Covenant in. We talked about that last week some. And he liked building buildings. But he kind of went overboard. After a while, people began to think, is he building these buildings for the glory of God or the glory of Solomon? Ah, power! So, Rehoboam takes up this idea of his father. The two brothers, Rehoboam had a better relationship with Solomon. Jeroboam took off to Egypt, having conflict with his father. So Rehoboam is asked to be king, and he's going to counsel with the elders that guided Solomon. And they said to Rehoboam, your dad may have been wise in some ways, but he worked the people to their bones and overtaxed them for the glory of these buildings they built. Don't do that. Lighten up. Lighten the workloads. Don't tax them as much. And the people will work with you and they will love you and they will understand God's love through you. You're anointed by God. Show that love of God. But Rehoboam listens to the young bucks, his age, who say, hey, you've got the power, man. Don't let it go. Even emphasize, in one translation that says, your dad worked with whips. Tell him you work with chains. So we went with that. But what happened? Not listening to the elders, he lost the people. He literally lost the people. The 10 tribes in the north, they call them, went back to their own union under Jeroboam. Now Jeroboam wasn't so great either. He built calves to gain power. So they all got this thing about God's love and power all screwed up, don't they? They literally lost people because he didn't listen about how you channel God's power into love with the people. So meanwhile, back in Wittenberg, Martin was struggling with this thing so much. And he was studious about reading the Bible and writing commentaries on different things. He started to read some of Paul's letters. And one of the ones that struck him and changed his whole thinking was a part of Romans. And part of that from the third chapter reads like this. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law. That ark, all those commandments in there, so that every mouth should be silenced and the whole world will be held accountable to God. For no human being will be made right in the sight of God by his or her deeds prescribed by the law. For through the law comes the knowledge that we all have sinned. But apart now from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested to by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption of Jesus in his death and resurrection. He did this to show his righteousness because in his divine forbearance, he passed over the sins previously committed. It was to prove the present time that he himself is righteous and he makes right all of us with God. Then what becomes a boasting, Paul says? It's excluded. By what law? By the law of works. I'm sorry. By that of works? No. But with the law of faith. For we hold that persons justified by faith in Jesus Christ, not prescribed by the law. We're free.
We are free because Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the dead. He beat death. Our sins are forgiven. We can do nothing more to advance our chances of salvation. And yet we have a hard time believing that, because our society talks about all the works involved in things to advance ourselves. We even say, oh man, I guess God has really blessed me. I have a house, maybe I have some payments left. I got a couple of cars, I got a good job. Us in retirement, we can live on that. But when we say that, those people who are jammed into a three-room apartment, they're not blessed by God. Those people who are suffering under certain conditions, God isn't blessing them. Yes, God is blessing them too. But we think about works as advancing ourselves. When Jesus says, you're saved, I love you. So if we are free, then what changes things then? What is works about? Well, other places Martin says, you're not going to keep this a secret, are you? That you are free, that God loves you and has forgiven your sins? Don't you want to tell other people? Don't you want to help make other people's lives better because you've got this exciting news? I always wondered, and I didn't ask my mother, what the principal talked about with Jack's mother and her. Priest and our pastor condemned each other from the pulpit because they thought they had a corner on what God was about. So it wasn't just about Catholic versus Lutheran. It's about who has the power. I never asked her, but I think the principal probably didn't want to be there. It took me until college and a great pastor in a congregation in college to help me think through all this stuff because it was so rigid in my mind. And then my senior year, the Catholic group and the Lutherans shared the same house, and we had dialogues all the time. I met priests. I was invited to a retreat where I was invited to be a part of communion, and the priest played softball with us in a sweatshirt. And it completely changed my whole thought about these are regular people. And they're showing God's love in a completely different way than I understood growing up. Harnessing God's power through love and forgiveness to all people. It doesn't take a priest or a pastor to do that. We all can do that. I think about the time when I end up going to seminary, and it was an incredible, humbling experience to think that I would stand in front of a congregation and say, as an ordained minister, I can give you God's word that your sins are forgiven. And as I said to the children, to tell a family, this infant child, God has claimed your child today. What joy that is for the family, and it's joy for me that I can be a vehicle for that. That's putting things in the right perspective. It's not about our power, it's about God's power working through us to send forth the message. We sang, a mighty fortress is our God. One translation, a bulwark never failing. Next, we are going to sing the song, my hope is built on nothing less than Christ's own blood and righteousness. Christ's own blood and righteousness says, I am saved, I am loved by God, I am forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.